Wednesday, February 15th, 2023. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. And we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope that your week is going well. I hope you, your family, your friends, everyone in your world is staying healthy. You're halfway through the week, and I know Super Bowl week, it's a little bit tough. Shouldn't we all just get Monday off? I know they're kind of talking about that. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I feel like everyone goes in the Monday after Super Bowl just a little bit worn out, like we kind of needed that extra day. But here's the big question for you. It is also the day after Valentine's Day today. Did you survive? Did you make it? Did you get whatever it was you needed to get? Here's my hope for you, Daily Dose listener. I hope you didn't fall for the old, let's just not get each other anything for Valentine's Day this year. It's stupid anyways. I hope you didn't fall for that old trick, because that trick will bite you, and it will bite you hard. I mean, it's like when someone tells you that you don't have to bring a gift to their birthday party. Of course you do. It's like when politicians tell you that they want more of your tax money, but don't worry about it. You're going to get all this money back in improved roads and parks and schools. Hey, if you believe any of those things, I've got some beachfront property in Aurora, Colorado to sell you. And here's the even better news. It comes with a brand new free unicorn. So I hope your Valentine's Day went well. Now, go ahead and enjoy that 50% off candy sale that you know you're going to go hit. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week, where we have new articles going up every week. Saw this week, had an article come out about the Super Bowl. You might want to go check out that, but we have links to the podcast, we have links to the video, and we have links to the Daily Dose gear. If you need a t-shirt, you need a hoodie, you need a sweatshirt, be sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com and finding exactly what you need. Hey, today on the show, we're doing something a little different. We're going to be joined by a few friends of the Dose to recap what was a wild, unpredictable, crazy Super Bowl 57. In fact, we have so much to get to today, we need to get over there right now. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose, we are bringing back the NFL Brain Trust, some friends of the Dose to check in on how Super Bowl 57 went. Super Bowl 57 was a wild affair. It was highly entertaining, and it was also a little bit controversial, and we are going to get to all of that before we are done. First up, we have Big Rob, sitting president of the Daily Dose I-Team, and disappointed, upset, possibly angry Philadelphia Eagle fan today. Rob, thank you for joining us on this, difficult week.
Good to be here. Good to be here. I got out of bed just for this. So
yes,
I'm here.
We've accomplished something today. It might not have been anything else, but we got Rob out of bed. Mike from Castle Rock is out on the plains there. You can see the mountains in the background if you're watching on the YouTube video. Mike is a Denver Broncos fan, and I know that he was watching that Super Bowl game as well. Going to get some thoughts from him, but welcome back, Mike. Always glad to have you.
Appreciate it. Always good to come in.
Finally, we have the savvy, wily veteran, Larry from Centennial. Larry, I'm looking at your background behind you on the Zoom call here on the video, and it looks like somebody behind you has caught a big fish. What's going on back there?
Somebody caught it, and I just lifted it up for a half.
Oh, okay. That's nice of you.
Yeah.
Measured it.
Like to help out where I can.
What kind of fish is that?
That is a
looks
wahoo.
Like you caught. It's a wahoo.
That is a wahoo down off of Cabo San Lucas a couple years ago, admittedly.
Yeah.
But biggest fish I've ever caught.
How big is that fish?
That is a 6-foot wahoo. Yes.
This sounds like a fish story if I've ever heard one.
It proceeded to be sliced up into smaller pieces of wahoo and eaten. But
how was the wahoo? Was it pretty good?
It's fantastic. Tasty right off the boat. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'm doing that. I think I'm just going to, go to the store and get my own. You know, we have a number of things to get to today on the Dose. But before we jump in fully, into the Super Bowl. I want to talk about the game. I want to talk about a number of things that happened. You know, we talked a little bit about entertaining game. I was glued to the game. I couldn't, you know, pull away from it at all. It was a very good game. There was some controversy. We're going to touch on that. But first up, what in the world was going on in Glendale? The field was horrible. It's the biggest game of the year. Why was the field so bad? Guys were slipping. They were sliding. It makes zero sense. And, you know, the problem I had with it, the offense gets the advantage because they know where they're going. The defense has to react to it. The pass rush was a little bit muted, probably both ways. I know they're both playing on the same field, but it was just dumb. I don't understand it. Larry, you're a guy who knows how to manicure a great yard. What in the world was going on down there in Glendale? Why can't the NFL figure out how to put a field down?
Well, it's just the classic, you know, you try to get things all pretty.
Yeah.
And you change the field. They had mentioned on the telecast that it was, I don't know what kind of grass they had going on, but, you know, you have to paint it. You have to put all the emblems on it. You got to make it pretty. And that detracts from, you know, the actual the field, the product on the field. They showed some scenes, right? They had to move the greenskeepers from the waste management open over to the field at night. They were sanding it. They were doing all kinds of stuff, but it was not good.
No, it wasn't. And it did. It affected the game. You could see players slipping and sliding. And honestly, I know that we want to move it to different venues. If you can't put together a better field than that, you probably shouldn't get it back for a while until you can figure that out. And I know they were having problems with that field during the year. They went in and ripped it out and put in a new one. It was worse. I couldn't believe how bad the field actually was. But let's go ahead and jump into the game itself, because the Kansas City Chiefs pull out a squeaker 38-35 over the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, the game started off. We get the kickoff. We get the whole thing. And the Eagles are going to have the first possession. And I'm waiting for them to come out and run the ball. They're gonna pound it down Kansas City's throat. That's not what they did on the first drive. They went down the field, but it was through the air. Jalen Hurts was throwing the ball. Rob, you're an Eagles fan. Did that first drive surprise you at all, or is that kind of what you expected?
Actually, it surprised me a little bit. Like you said, I thought they would, you know, come out running. But yeah, good game plan from the top, throwing the ball right down the field with no issues.
No, they had no issues. They went right down the field. Jalen Hurts looked very, very sharp early. They go down and they put up a touchdown quickly. Hey, maybe this is going to be Philly's day. They kick off. And the Chiefs answer quickly with that explosive passing game. Mahomes to Travis Kelce. He's rolling down the field. He's getting everything he wants. They answer right back. Now, Mike, we're Bronco fans. We're not going to apologize for it. There's no way I can cheer for the Chiefs in this game. If you're watching that game as cheering for the Eagles or whatever, did that first drive for the Chiefs kind of concern you a little bit, just how easy they scored?
Well, it made me feel a little bit better as a Bronco fan, knowing that we're not the only team that cannot cover Travis Kelce.
True.
It was not unexpected. You had a very good Philadelphia defense, a great defensive line. But, you know, were they not able to get the traction? A very good offensive game plan by Kansas City. Overall, it started off for three and a half quarters. It was a very entertaining back and forth game.
Yes, it
was. Some very big plays. It was a lot of times in these big games, you get a quarter and a half of teams kind of feeling each other out. And it wasn't that way. It was haymakers from the start.
Yes, right from the beginning, both teams are moving up and down the field. Second drive, Eagles have to punt. Chiefs drive, they attempt a 42-yard field goal. Harrison Butker hit the post. I do believe that was one of the bets that had to be covered, whether or not a kicker would hit the post. So the Eagles get the ball back. Hey, again, they like to run the ball. They're going to run the ball. On the next series, though, we saw some problems that run game could create because Jalen Hurts fakes the handoff. He loads up the big play, and he throws it deep to A.J. Brown, who makes a great adjustment to the ball in the air, Hurts to Brown for a 45-yard touchdown. It's 14-7 Eagles. And I'm sitting there going, hey, this is going to be an interesting game because we haven't seen the Eagles really run the ball that much yet. They're throwing the ball all over the place. Eagles get the ball back. This is now in the second quarter. They get possession. They're driving near the 50. When Jalen Hurts runs kind of a quarterback draw, he drops the ball. Chiefs linebacker Nick Bolton scoops it up for a 36-yard touchdown. This felt like a huge swing in momentum. It was 14-7. The Eagles are driving, and it maybe felt a little bit like maybe Hurts was trying to do too much. He probably should have thought, hey, I'm in trouble. Go down. He didn't want to go down easy. He wanted to fight for it. He loses the ball, and the Chiefs get back on the board. Larry, I know so many times we say whoever makes the big play wins. Sometimes whoever makes the least negative plays also wins. And the Eagles made a huge negative play here. It just felt like that momentum really shifted early on.
Yeah, it did. That's how you win and lose games, though, yeah. Right? In massive games like this where the mistakes are amplified, that was a big one. They didn't just fumble it and position where they were. That was a score. And given what we know about the first half, that was huge for Kansas City.
Yes, it was.
So you look at those two plays, the missed field goal, but then they get the fumble recovery
for the
touchdown, kept him in the game. I mean, quite honestly, you're right. Like I said, knowing what we know about that first half, Kansas City was still had some points on the board at that point and made a huge play.
Yeah, and you wondered because the Eagles were clicking. If they go up 21-7, they go up 17-7. I don't know. It just had a very, very different feel to it. You know, after that play, I was really interested to see, what does Philly do now? Do they come out? Do they go 3-and-out? Do they let Jalen run the ball anymore? They came back, and they really, really answered. I wanted to see, what do they do after adversity? Very first play call, they call a little quarterback counter for Hurts. He picks up 14 yards. The Eagles convert 2 fourth down plays. They go 75 yards to make it 21-14. Just over 2 minutes left in the half. Rob, this was a huge answer from the Eagles offense. You had to be feeling pretty good. You're up a touchdown.
Yeah, that play, that turnover was so big because it was almost unforced, I would say. There was a little bit of pressure there, but it wasn't, they weren't all over him. And then, like Larry said, then they get 7 points right off that. And just, with the Chiefs, you can't give them points. It's hard enough to stop them as it is. But like I said, great answer to that. And just, I think throughout the game, I just, a lot of the calls, they kind of started off aggressive and they stayed that way, which I really liked, going forward on the fourth downs, moving the ball. And like you said, if that turnover doesn't happen, just the way they're moving it, you got to think, they're at least going to get a field goal out of that, if not a touchdown and eat up some more clock.
Well, and that's exactly what I'm thinking. And I'm looking at what they had done was pass the ball. I'm going, hey, get a lead and then start grinding it out. You're going to be right where you want to be. Ensuing drive, the Chiefs get the ball back. They are facing a 3rd and 15. Patrick Mahomes scrambles. He's tackled. He limps off the field in utter agony. All right, did anyone really think he was hurt? Because I personally thought it was 100% drama. Mike, did you buy the injury at all? I didn't think it was even a big thing.
I don't know if it mattered. It was close to halftime, and you knew you were going to numb him up and rewrap it at halftime anyway, and it showed. So I don't know. He doesn't come across as too much of a over-dramatic guy, but I don't know. It ended up not mattering anyway, but he did. Having had a high ankle sprain before and just being 2 weeks away removed from it, it doesn't take much to tweak it. So,
no, 100%. No question about that. Had a high ankle sprain. It's all you can do to walk on it. He was doing a little more than walking. I don't even think it's Mahomes. I think it's just his generation. And I'm not trying to be old man guy, but I think it's just his generation. It is never kind of hurt that, walked it off. It's, oh my God, I got hit with sniper fire and they drop. They're screaming. He's on the sideline. Maybe it's just me. But he came back in and played like nothing. So I'm not going to buy the whole he was playing on one leg thing. Anyways, the Eagles get the ball back. Just over a minute left in the half. On 2nd and 1, Hurts goes deep to Devontae Smith. He makes a phenomenal sideline catch inside the 20-yard line. It's ruled a catch on the field. We see, 57 different angles. I never saw an angle that made me think this wasn't a catch. Everything about it looked like a catch. The NFL overruled it. The NFL has a problem with their rules and their definitions. They refuse to tell us what a catch is. I used to know when I was a kid. Possession, 2 feet. Possession, two. I have no idea what a catch is anymore. I have no clue. And so they overruled this. I don't know what was inconclusive evidence. I don't know what that means either, apparently. I don't get it. I don't understand it. There was also a helmet-to-helmet shot on Devontae. Wasn't even talked about. The Eagles instead did not get that catch. They had to kick a field goal to end the half. Hey, you're up 10. But if you're up 14, it feels a lot different. Eagles up 24-14 at halftime. Larry, I felt like the Eagles had missed that opportunity to put the Chiefs down by more than 10 because the Chiefs were going to get the opening kick out of the second half. And I was like, 10 isn't enough. If you go down and get a touchdown, now it's just a three-point game. I still haven't figured out why they ruled that not a catch. I never saw anything that made me think it wasn't a catch.
Yeah, I don't either. It's kind of baffling. 100% with you. Everything we saw, looked at, showed it to be a catch. And yeah, you're right. Philadelphia is a great team. I think they're the better team. I think Kansas City has the intangibles at this point, that at least that's what I thought going into this game. Mm-hmm. And that's part of it, right? So Kansas City can be down. I'm not sure if there's really a difference for them, whether it be, you know, 10 to 14. They knew that they were going to have to, you know, do something different in the second half. So you'd much rather be up by, they did miss out on a couple things. And as good as Philly played, you know, the first half, scored a bunch of points. They looked like they were, you know, they were clicking.
Yeah.
They made a couple, you know, mistakes and didn't capitalize in a couple of spaces that made, I think, the difference. And you can't do that in the Super Bowl against Kansas City.
Yeah, agreed. And when you have such an explosive offense, you have a very, very good coach in Andy Reid. You're taking your chances when you don't, you know, put your foot on their throat. We get to halftime. Let's talk a little bit about halftime. Over under on Rihanna was 7.5 on her forehead size. I took the over. I don't know which way you guys bet, but that's how I would. Now, there were rumors that she may have a surprise guest. There were a number of people that were out there. I saw Jay-Z at the game. I thought maybe Jay-Z would, you know, stop it. Was I the only one rooting for Chris Brown? Just me? Because I thought that would be interesting. I didn't know how it would go, but I thought it would be interesting. Turns out she did not have a guest, but she had a very tight, solid show. I like Rihanna. It makes me think of being like on the beach and listening to music. So I was good with that. I did, though. I texted Rob. I said, Rob, she looks pregnant. Turns out she was. Oh, yeah. It wasn't just me being mean. She was lopping out over her belt a little bit, and we understood. Now, I did hear that if her platform had gone any higher, NORAD had authorized them to shoot her down, but fortunately, it didn't go up any higher. There is a clip, though. You can see one of the dancers did fall. Didn't fall off the platform, but he fell, and he kind of had to hold himself up. You can see it. I'm not even kidding about that. But here's the question I have. Did anyone else notice that sideline reporter Aaron Andrews said that Andy Reid won't do halftime interviews if the Chiefs are behind?
Yeah.
Andy's a good guy. Andy's, it seems like a nice, what a jerk move. I don't even care. You're a jerk. If you're down, then you're not going to talk to her. But if you're up, then, oh, yeah, it's all smiles and happy, and then you can go have a Big Mac at halftime. Man, get out there and do your interview, you jerk. Okay, we're going to move past halftime. Rihanna was fine. Whatever. I don't care. We get to the second half. Chiefs take the second half kickoff, and Patrick Mahomes showed why he is so dangerous. He drives them right down the field, finds Travis Kelce a few times, and they started to mix run and pass a little more. Mahomes showed his ankle was fine. He had a 14-yard scramble for a first down. Isaiah Pacheco kind of showing up a little bit. He goes in from a yard out. 24-21 Eagles. I thought that opening drive was a must drive for KC. If they go 3 and out, if they have to punt, you're down 10. It kind of felt like it might get out of hand. The Chiefs had to have a score maybe not a touchdown, but they'd have a score, and they got it. Rob, did the first possession of that second half make you a little nervous at all?
Not at that point. Like I said, coming out of halftime, you kind of figured they would come down and put points on the board. And I think, like you mentioned before, I think that's why the Devonta Smith call was so big, because, you know, if you're up 14, they get it back, you're still up seven, like a whole touchdown. Once it got down to three, then it felt a little bit tight, but I wasn't nervous yet.
Okay, so we had some missed calls in the first half. We talked about them. There was a missed call on Devonta getting hit square in the head. He had just made a catch or trying to make a catch, got hit square in the head. It wasn't even talked about in the broadcast. We saw the call get overturned on his catch, and I still haven't figured out what that was about. There was also, I want to mention in the first half, there was a hold by a Philadelphia defensive back. They didn't call it, and the announcer said they're not going to call that in a big game like this. They're going to let that kind of stuff go. You got to play through it. Thought that was very, very interesting. So now it's 24-21. Eagles get the ball back. They throw a little screen pass to Miles Sanders. He drops it. Chiefs run it back for another touchdown, and I'm going, oh my goodness, if this counts, they're going to have the lead, and I don't even know if they deserve this one. With replay what it is, I half expected it to count. They overruled it. They said it wasn't a catch. So the Eagles continue the drive. On third and 14, Jalen Hurts completes a 14-yard pass, and it wasn't much more than 14 yards, to tight end Dallas Goedert. Was it a catch? We weren't sure. But the Eagles ran to the line to snap it quickly, and they took the snap, and then the refs threw a flag, and they stopped the play. And they said they threw the flag for a substitution infraction, and they stopped the play to allow the Chiefs to change their personnel. Can anyone explain how on a play that the Eagles rushed to the line and snapped the ball, there was a substitution? Because we never saw a substitution. But they stopped the play, which allowed the Chiefs to challenge that catch.
Well, here's the problem.
What am I missing?
Yeah, here's the problem. When they throw a flag and call a penalty like that in the Super Bowl, when we haven't seen it ever before, it's a problem. I understand the rule. The catch was made on the Philadelphia sideline, and for that reason, the refs couldn't determine whether the Philadelphia Eagles had made a substitution or not. If they had, then the Kansas City Chiefs get to make a substitution. But because they couldn't figure it out, they threw the flag. Maybe somebody complained. I don't know. But again, when these calls are made in the biggest game, when nobody can understand what's going on, it gives that air of what's going on.
Yes.
Guys, right.
And that's exactly what it is, because they ended up upholding the catch. The catch counted.
Yeah.
But you threw a flag. There was no penalty. So why did you stop the game?
Right.
It looks bad. It looks really bad. It makes everyone start going, okay, now we have to hear all the people grumbling about, oh, it's fixed and it's this and it's that. Mike, what is the NFL doing? It doesn't seem like they're doing themselves any favors with these kind of calls.
No, wait, but Goodell says the officiating is as good as it's ever been.
He's telling us. Who are you going to believe, Roger or your own eyes?
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, we were talking a little bit before. I think overall the NFL officiating is very good. I think it's just some of these calls have just been poorly timed.
Very.
And on very big stages. So
it's
not a good look. It's not such a, oh God, what was that playoff game? Wasn't it the Rams and the Saints or something?
With the missed interference play?
The worst blown call in the history of the NFL. I mean, it wasn't that blatant.
No.
But yeah.
It's a bad look.
It stands out because of the stage it was on.
Can I just lob out an idea? And I'm just a dumb hick from Broomfield, Colorado, but I'm going to throw out an idea. Can we try to take the judgment out of these judgment calls? Can we just put rules in place that I don't have to say, well, I think what it meant to be? No, here's the rule. You either follow it or you don't. When it used to be 2 feet and possession, I can look at this and I can tell if it's a catch or not. If 50 guys in a bar look at it and say that's a catch, then that's a catch. Now, I have no idea because they put in all these other aspects to it. And in a lot of the rules, in the roughing the passer rules, in the catch rule, in a lot of these rules that you go, it's so subjective now. I have no idea. That's not good for the game. And you know who looks the worst out of it? It's the refs. They look terrible. They look like a bunch of idiots that, like Mike said, I think they get it right a lot of the time, most of the time. But man, it looks so bad when they don't. And that whole drive where that substitution and that looked dirty. And you know what it made me think of? It made me think of that game, at the play against the Cincinnati Bengals, where they got a do-over. Hey, guys, let's just have a do-over. That's not how this works. You don't get do-overs in this. If we could have a do-over, I'm sure there's a lot of teams. I know here in Broncoland, we'd love a do-over when Raheem Moore takes a dive on a deep ball. I'd love a do-over. You don't get do-overs, but the Chiefs got a do-over, and they kind of got a do-over on whether or not to review this play. I didn't like it. It's a bad look. Yeah. The Eagles ended up kicking a field goal. It's now 27-21 Philadelphia. But again, it feels like, hey, maybe you needed seven there. It's only six now. And of course, the Chiefs respond exactly like you'd expect. They mix run and pass again. Pacheco was running extremely hard. And I thought that run game, and maybe the slippery turf, kept that Eagles pass rush off balance. Mahomes was having time to throw. He finds Juju Smith-Schuster four times on the next drive. Third and three at the Eagles 5-yard line. Andy Reid is running a lot of pre-snap motion, and he's getting guys wide open. Kadarius Toney all by himself for a touchdown. The Chiefs now lead 28-27, 12 minutes to play in the game. Larry, did you get the feeling that Andy Reid maybe was starting to take over this game as much as Patrick Mahomes was?
Yeah, 100%. It starts to amaze you a little bit, right, when guys are that wide open, when one receiver, Juju, gets, you know, multiple catches, you know, things are starting to click. And man, they could not defend the receiver, the slant play, and then cutting to the corner of the end zone. Those plays were wide open, easy touchdowns.
Yeah, they were. And I was surprised by that because Philly had been so tough in those kind of plays and short passing game and getting pressure on the quarterback. And they were struggling and blown coverages. Both these touchdowns coming up, they're blown coverages. And you just, something made Andy Reid say, hey, we can exploit this. And they did. The Chiefs defense, not the offense, actually forces a three and out. They get a punt. And it's not a very good punt. It's a line drive. Yeah. Returner Kadarius Toney returns it 65 yards to the Eagle 5-yard line. Longest punt return in NFL or Super Bowl history. The Chiefs, once again, confuse the Eagles' defense. Mahomes finds Sky Moore this time. Another wide-open touchdown. Now, it is KC 35, Philly 27. There's 9 minutes to play. Plenty of time. But while the Eagles were so dominating early, it felt like they were kind of falling apart a little bit now. The defense can't get a stop. Rob, you've been watching that defense come up with plays all year. You had to be going, come on, turnover, a tip ball, something. You got to come up with something. Get some pressure on Mahomes. You had to be surprised that they're not doing this in this game, late at least.
Yeah, I was. And I think they even mentioned it on the broadcast. Like, you've got to change it up. You got to try something different. Because like you said, Andy Reid just kind of got into his zone, you know, making the calls. And like you said, just so wide open on two of the touchdowns, just walk-in touchdowns. So like you said, just, I don't know if it was shock or what, but just something, you know, had to change in that second half. And it was just almost like there were no adjustments. They just kind of just stayed in the base and nothing. And like I said, at this point, you know, you need some kind of turnover because now they're kind of hitting their stride. So like I said, blitz, something, just something to change it up. And it just never happened at all in the second half.
You know, I always wondered when Denver had their Super Bowl team in 2015, and not to bring this back to Broncos, but I will. There were times that defensive front with just four could get pressure on the quarterback. And there were times I felt like the coaching staff sometimes became stubborn. I'm not blitzing. We don't have to blitz. Oh, okay, but sometimes you do. Sometimes their offensive line is picking everything up. Sometimes you've got to change things up, like Rob said. Sometimes you need a jump start, and it didn't seem like Philly was willing. Hey, let's send a couple more people. Let's give them a different look. Do something. It kind of was like, well, this is what we do, and this is what we've done all year. I don't care. this is the biggest game of the year. Figure something out. And it was kind of disappointing that they didn't change anything up. But the Eagles were not done. Jalen Hurts, holy cow, he had a game. They drive 75 yards. Jalen Hurts dives in for his third rushing touchdown of the day. And then they kind of go student body left. He runs in the two-point conversion with just over 5 minutes to play. It is 35-35. We are getting a great, entertaining Super Bowl. You can't look away from it. Mike, you and I are texting each other, and we are getting a great game. The game was so fun. It had a feeling at that point, hey, whoever has the ball last is going to win. It was back and forth. It was fun.
Oh, absolutely. It was, despite the end, and I'm assuming what we're about to talk about here, it was a very entertaining, very back and forth game. The NFL had to be very happy. I think it turned out that it was one of the most watched Super Bowls.
Yes, most ever, I believe.
It was a very entertaining, very good offensive. Two young quarterbacks.
Yeah, youngest combo.
Creative. Everything about it for 3.5 quarters was fantastic.
Well, and not a ton of penalties. Great. Not a lot of stoppages in that way. Not, you know, one turnover, and it was kind of a fluky, weird play. Good play. And I will say this, for as much as both defenses kind of struggled, maybe scheme-wise, or I thought it was good tackling. I thought when they got an open receiver, both teams made good plays and brought them down. I thought it was a well-played football game on both sides of the ball. 5 minutes left. Patrick Mahomes keeps the Chiefs moving. He has a 26-yard scramble to the Eagles 17. Again, I know he was playing on one leg. Somehow summoned the gumption to make that 26-yard scramble. 2 minute warning. The Eagles force a 3rd and 8 from the 15-yard line. Under pressure, Mahomes throws the ball to the end zone to Juju Smith-Schuster. And the referees call a defensive holding call against Eagles defensive back, James Bradbury. Now, Bradbury said after the game, I held him. I grabbed him. I knew there was a risk, and I did it. Fellas, I hate this call. I hate this call. And for a couple of reasons. I talked about earlier, there was a call. I believe it was also against Bradbury, and they didn't call it. So I know a lot of people are saying, hey, if it's called in the first quarter, then it's called in the fourth quarter. I understand that. What if it's not in the first quarter? Because it wasn't. We saw it not be called. So it felt so ticky-tack. It felt like it didn't affect the play. And we were always taught in officiating, call advantage, disadvantage. It didn't look like advantage or disadvantage here. The ball was overthrown. It couldn't have been caught. And people can say, well, if you hadn't held him, yeah, but the ball was so far overthrown, it just didn't feel like it. Here's my problem. It ended the game. It ended the game, and we were getting ready for, okay, the Chiefs are going to kick a field goal. We're going to have like a minute, and it's going to be phenomenal. We're going to get a touchdown. We're going to get overtime. It ended the game. The players are reading what's being called in a game. We used to coach our kids. Hey, if they're calling the hand check, understand they're calling it. If they're not, they're not. You've called it one way the whole game, and on the biggest play of the game. Okay, so the Chiefs can go in and score, get a touchdown. Philly's going to let them score. Chiefs are smart enough. They fall down at the goal line. They kneel it out. They kick the field goal. Game is over. I'm going to go around to everybody. Did you want it to be decided this way? Were you hoping for a different end? How were you in that whole call? Larry, let's go to you first. Defensive holding call. What did you think when you saw it?
I thought it was ticky-tack, and I thought that if it was any other place, any other time. Well, so I'll just say it's a 50-50 call, right? You saw the jersey get grabbed.
Yeah.
Did it do anything? No, it didn't do anything. And there, I mean, we could spend an hour just talking about this, right? I believe that happens on every play. I think offensive holding happens on every play.
Yes.
So are you going to call it or are you not going to call it? And if we know it happens on every play, then we got to change the rule somehow to be like, well, did it impact the play or not? And there's got to be some sort of change there, because it certainly didn't work out in the favor of the NFL.
No.
And the end of the game, and what could have been, you know, a couple shots. It would have been the exciting game that we all had been watching for the first, you know, 3+ quarters.
It was just so deflating to see how that went. Mike, I know you and I were texting back and forth. What was your feeling when you saw the yellow on the field?
Oh, it was even after I saw the replay. Okay, by the book, was it a penalty? Yes.
Yeah.
There are so many things wrong with it. A, it didn't impede him. B, the timing of it. I mean, if that was called in the second quarter of week 3 of a Sunday afternoon game, you'd be like, eh, it's a tic-tac call, but whatever. Sure. But the timing of that important of a call was horrible. It's like getting a speeding ticket for doing 47 and a 45. Yeah. It was awful. The problem is that it's so magnified, right?
Right.
You still have Philly not making a single stop in the second half.
For sure.
Correct. Okay. But what it robbed us of is Philly getting the ball back with a minute left or whatever and going down and furiously trying to score. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. But it ended on such a dud and such a sour note. When that final gun went off, you're just like, oh.
That's it.
I don't know if you did you watch the Ozark? Fantastic, amazing show.
I haven't finished it.
Fantastic show through 3.5 seasons. The very last episode, you're like, that's it? That's how it ends? What it reminded me of. It was fantastic game, and it will be marred by that very questionable call.
Well, and the problem that I have is that it was such a good game. And the thing that is going to be remembered, it reminded me, except for that game was terrible, but the Steelers-Seahawks Super Bowl, I don't even remember that game. All I remember, there was a bunch of terrible calls in the Allwood against Seattle. Rob, I know you're watching this. I know maybe you're not objective, but I also had a problem with, as bad as the call was in that moment, it hadn't been called all game. The flag was really late, too. Really late. You had to be dying.
Yeah, it was terrible. I agree with you guys. And even, I won't even say ticky-tack. I mean, like Mike said, I mean, by the letter of the law, probably. But Peting, the field is trash. So as he's turning, probably half of that is him just trying to keep his balance.
Right.
But yeah, just, it wasn't even, to me, like, not even a full grab. Like, sometimes you see those and just full grab.
Right. Right.
Jersey is extended. Okay, you got to call that. But it happens so fast. Like I said, as he's turning, the field is trash. His hand is on him. Like I said, is it enough to call? I don't think so. I mean, I think in the Super Bowl, I don't think you can make that call. It's not even really ticky-tack for me. Like, to make a holding call, it would have to be a full hold, fistful of jersey. It's extended, you know, pulls it out, untucks it out his pants, a legit hold. But just that quick of a turn, like, I don't know how you make that call. And like Larry said, you know, we don't know how the game is going to go, you know, going to end up after that point. But still, I think, you know, the way the game is going, like, you know, like they always say, let the players decide the game, you know. Yeah. And I think for that reason alone, you know, you don't blow it. You kick it out and you let that last minute and a half, you know, play out how it should.
Well, and just as a fan of the game and watching it, calling the call, making that call ends the game, or we can continue and see where this goes. Who doesn't want more? It was just absolutely painful. Now, I'll be very honest. I don't always watch sports talk. I don't listen to a lot of it. But from what I saw on ESPN, they kind of glossed over it. They kind of went to the, hey, Chiefs, great game, and Mahomes and you know, that kind of thing. And I understand it. Andy Reid, hey, phenomenal job. I get it. I do not believe that the Eagles lost this game due to officiating. I think there were some really, really bad calls that cost them. Like Mike said, hey, you couldn't get a stop in the second half. No question about it. But here's the other problem that I have with the officiating, especially probably more in the NBA even than the NFL, but in the NFL. And they've started to talk about it a little bit. It doesn't surprise me that you have bad officiating. It surprises me sometimes, though, that the big networks don't really talk about it that much. It doesn't surprise me that politicians, I don't know, try to hide their break-in into an opposing party's headquarters, but it would bother me if the media didn't cover Watergate. That's the problem I have, is sometimes the networks are like, well, hey, we don't want to we don't want to anger the NFL, so we're not going to talk about it. It's dumb. And here's a question I have. I'll post to all three of you. I think it is a major problem in the postseason to go to all-star crews. If you're a good crew, go as a crew. When you're not and you haven't worked together and they say, hey, you're going to be the umpire, you're going to be the side judge, you're going to be the back judge, you're going to be the referee, you've never worked together. And as a ref, I have ref before. Knowing your partners is really, really important. How do we fix this problem? Larry, I'll throw it out to you. What do we do to fix this?
I have no idea why this hasn't been solved way before now.
Yeah.
You ref as a crew, you go as a crew. You said it right. There really isn't any other way around it. These guys are working together. They know through the whole season, they know what they're accountable for. They know what they should be doing. They're going to call the game more consistently across the board because they've been doing it. I have no idea why they don't handle things like that. It's so obvious.
You would think so.
100% obvious. And hey, look, I get some guys get better, you know, they grade out, but get the best graded group, send them there. It makes an absolute no sense to me.
Mike, do you have a fix for the officiating in the NFL? Is there a fix or is this just what we have?
No, I don't know if there's a magic wand to fix everything. I think keeping crews together would be a step in the right direction. I think you wouldn't have the goofiness with the substitution and let's blow the play dead. I don't think they were on the same page there.
Not at all.
You mentioned the gaffe with Cincinnati at Kansas City where they got a replay because I don't think they're on the same page there. I don't think it would have made a difference in the bad holding call, but I think it may eliminate some problems, but not all. Going back to that call, I guarantee you could watch every single passing play and there are holds or interference that are as bad, if not worse than that on every single play, every single one, unless it's a completely blown coverage. There's hand fighting, there's jersey tugging, there's pushing off without extending. There's so many worse plays than that. It looks so bad, the timing of that call. If that was made in the first quarter, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Agreed. And the problem I think that so many of us had is there hadn't been a defensive holding. There hadn't been a pass interference all day. Only one with a minute left to play. That favored a team that was getting a lot of breaks anyways. Rob, is there any way to fix the officiating in the NFL? Is there any kind of thing we could do to get something better out there?
Not really. The only thing I'd add, and I think you mentioned it before, is just try to make it simpler, like you said, when it goes back to the catch. So it's easier for everyone to understand, because I think, you know, that is a part of it, too. You know, because you look at it and it, like I said, it just doesn't look right, you know, and maybe that is the letter, you know, of the law or the exact rule. But maybe just, you know, make everything, you know, just a lot simpler. So, you know, you can see from the naked eye, OK, yeah, that's a hold. You know, he had his jersey out, or, you know, 2 feet down, it's a catch. Just simple and not so much extra added onto it, you know, on the backside of it.
Completely agree. And the NFL has a definitions problem. And when you say he has to make a football move, I don't have any idea what that means. Does that mean he's got to, you know, go full Walter Payton and get the hand out? I don't know what that means. But when they say silly things that are completely subjective, they're doing a poor job of putting definitions out there. And then it leads to silly nonsense a lot of times. Did anybody think that at some point we're going to see, you know, Philly with their little quarterback sneaks that they run, and then they go push and just shove Jalen for about 5 extra yards. Are we going to see that band? We're going to see that band, right? They're going to, because somebody's going to get injured doing it, aren't they? Like, we're going to, and there's, it's not just the NFL and it's not just Philly. Everybody's doing it. It used to be you couldn't take your ball carrier and like pick him up and carry him down the field. Yeah. Everybody's doing it now. College, NFL. They've got to ban this, don't they? You can't do this. That's breaking the, that used to be breaking the rules. Larry, can they just ban the push?
I don't know. I think it's kind of funny.
I do too.
So I don't know. Look, if it works, and I don't know how you would ban it though. Can you?
It used to be you couldn't push a ball carrier.
Right.
And they've relaxed that and they've allowed it. But I know eventually we're going to, they right. talk about player safety.
Let's not get into, you know, creating more problems for ourselves. When a ball carrier is 10 yards down the field and you see a lineman come and just barrel into his own guy just to get the extra yard.
Yes.
Is he really pushing him, or is he, you know, was he pushed into him? Right. So I don't know that we need to create more rules. I think it's kind of good. It's funny. And I love the guy on the other side of the line of scrimmage who jumps on top.
Yes.
Just to get carried along with.
Right. Just go with the wave.
Right in the wave.
If your feet aren't on the ground, how much impact are you going to have on stopping the guy? So I love to see the guys jumping on top and just kind of, I don't know, going with the flow. Yeah. It seems pretty silly to me, but it's always a fun play.
Oh, it's entertaining. Every time Philly got in that short yardage formation, I was just on the edge of my seat. I'm like, okay, who's going to get crushed? Because somebody's going to, and I'm going to laugh. Did anybody see any commercials that stood out to them? I know we've gone through the game and KC won, but it used to be, not to go too old guy here, but it used to be commercials were a big deal. We'd see the new Coke. We'd see the new Budweiser. We'd see the – I didn't really see anything. I was kind of bored with the commercials. Did anybody got anything? I got nothing.
I like the Doritos Breaking Bad commercial, but I'm a huge Breaking Bad fan, so that was a good one for me.
Okay.
Bringing back Tuco and Jesse and Walter, I thought that was a really good one.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody else got anything?
It looked like you might have spent a week in a meth RV sometime. So
it literally looks like the RV could pull up right behind him right now. I think
they're so watered down now because you can't offend anybody, and that's a lot of one commercial that flew under the radar, and maybe you guys saw it. I know I saw it was the Grand Lodge Casino commercial. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I missed that. I must have walked out to get more Doritos.
It's the place for fun.
Is it?
Yeah,
what they say.
Yeah, so. I thought that was really good. And Jesus showed up a few times.
I did see Jesus show up a few times. I'm sure somebody was offended by that, but
right.
I don't know. I saw the preview for the movie Air with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon telling the story about Nike signing Michael Jordan. Maybe I'll watch that. I don't know. I didn't see much. I thought the commercials were just real, real bland. Rob, anything stand out to you commercial wise?
Not really. The only one for me, Danny McBride. Did one for, I think, Downey, and this just him because he's Kenny Powers in my head, which was a great show. So, anytime I see him, I always think Kenny Powers.
Doing a lot of running and cycling, swimming. Well, you know all about that.
No, actually, I don't. I play real sports, not trying to be the best at exercising.
How can you not?
Yeah,
how can he own that character? So good. He's pretty good in whatever he does. MVP, of course, goes to Patrick Mahomes. He went 21 of 27. 182 yards passing. He had three touchdowns. Like we've mentioned already, they scored every single time they touched the ball in the second half. And I know people are acting like he was playing on one leg. I saw him after the game. He was standing in all his interviews. We've all had high ankle sprains. None of us were standing, but we'll go on. Okay, let's move past the game. I would go down the path of, did you hear Travis Kelce after the game talk about how no one picked him? I wrote about it yesterday on the Dose. You can go over there and read my article about that and why he went into concussion protocol after the game. Okay, we're going into a little bit of NFL offseason stuff here. We have seen a few coaches get hired this year already. Although the coaching carousel this year wasn't quite as wild as we've seen in years past, I do want to take a look at a couple coaches that got jobs and kind of talk about how maybe they're going to do. The Carolina Panthers fired their head coach, Matt Rhule, midseason. I actually thought interim head coach Steve Wilks had done enough to get that job, but the Panthers went out. Instead, they hire former Colts coach Frank Reich. Reich had some trouble getting much out of either Phillip Rivers or Matt Ryan. Mike, is Frank Reich going to be the guy to fix Sam Darnold or maybe coach up a rookie quarterback that they may draft?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to draft. I don't know where they, I think they're picking ninth right now, something like that. So Yeah, he's going to have a challenge because Darnold, I don't believe Darnold's the answer.
I don't either. I think he's going to have a tough road there. And I don't know. I really liked what Wilkes did. This smells a little bit like what the Raiders did last year. You had a guy come in, did a pretty good job, had him battling for a playoff spot. And then you go, no, we want a bigger name. Be careful what you wish for because that didn't go so well. I think they're going to be in a little bit of trouble. DeMeco Ryan did a phenomenal job as defensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers. All of his family is down in Houston, Texas. Seemed like he was pretty honed in on that job. Ryan's is only 38 years old. I worry a little bit about him because the Texans have a lot of work to do all over that whole franchise. Larry, I like that Ryan's is young and hungry. This feels like a tough job, though.
It does. And I thought, mentioned it here in past podcasts, I thought Lovie Smith would be down there for, you know, a couple of years, just setting a little more groundwork, just a little more foundation. As a first-time head coach, you want every opportunity you can get. So he's not going to say no, but how many head coaches, first-year head coaches, have we really seen succeed in an environment like this? Where you have to change talent, culture, you know, motivation,
ownership,
losing attitude, ownership. It's all working against him. And I hope he, you know, can be successful because those are great stories to see coaches, you know, turn things around. But man, feels like it's a really uphill battle.
Yes, it does. And, you know, Larry brings up a good point. We talked about it a little bit on our end of season podcast. And Lovie wasn't winning, but Lovie had no talent. But I'll give him this. Those Texans played very, very hard every single week. You had to show up or they would almost beat Kansas City. Remember that game?
Mm-hmm.
His team played really hard. They played well together. They just weren't very good. I wish they had given him a little more time. I think Ryan's, I think he has a bright future, hopefully, if they don't break him. But the Texans have broken some really good ones in the past, and that would worry me. Houston feels so poorly run right now from the front, very top, that I don't know. That seems like a poisonous situation to me. We all know here in Denver, the Denver Broncos had a miserable season. They fired head coach Nathaniel Hackett after maybe the worst coaching job that we've seen. It's like him and Urban Meyer kind of neck and neck. They looked at DeMeco Ryans. They looked at Jim Harbaugh. They finally pay a ton to former New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton. Hey, Payton is a proven winner with a franchise, we might add, that never won anything. The Broncos paid a high price to get him, though. They gave up draft picks. They gave up a ton of money. Rob, you're the only objective one here. Is Sean Payton the guy that has a chance to fix this mess?
Absolutely. I think, like you said, I know they had looked at a couple different people, but I mean, I think he was always the guy, you know, going into paid a lot for him, but they can afford it. And I think probably worth it. Like I said, you know, veteran coach, clearly a good coach, someone that demands respect off top, you know, first day he steps in the locker room. So yeah, great hire, I would say.
I would agree. And you try not to be too much of a homer with a hire like this. You always are kind of trying to look on the bright side, but you try not to be too much of a homer, but who else even has a prayer of fixing this? DeMeco Ryan seems like he's a very bright young kid. This is beyond his pay grade. I hate to say, maybe Jim Harbaugh would be okay. Maybe he's kind of a weird dude. He has a short shelf life. I'll give him that. But I don't know if he could have fixed this. Sean Payton feels like if anyone possibly could fix it, it's got to be him. People forget that Drew Brees' career was in serious doubt when he went to New Orleans. He had blown his shoulder. We didn't know if he was going to play. He wasn't great in San Diego. He was okay. And Sean Payton made him not just an all-star and write his name over the record books, won a Super Bowl in New Orleans. Mike, I don't know if Rob's old enough. We're old enough to remember the Saints were the Aints and they never won anything. They really haven't won anything since. Sean Payton won there. There's something to that.
And I think, what, a top three offense 10 years in a row there? I mean, it's That's what we were salivating for in the offseason last season, right?
Yes.
It was, okay, we were a quarterback away from in all these tools, all these weapons. Right. We were a quarterback away, and boom. Apparently, we were a coach away, too, because that was a disaster. The fact that he's already come in here and said, oh, that whole separate coaching staff you got there, Russ? Yeah, that's gone. Boom. Step number one, I love it. You are on the same level with everybody else. You're a teammate. He's talking to Rex Ryan, which would be dynamic for our defense.
Would be dynamic.
Oh my God. I don't know. I'm tempering. I spent the entire offseason last, well, from the announcement of getting Wilson.
Right. Right.
Being on cloud nine. So I'm tempering my enthusiasm, but I'm excited. Once again, I'm excited. Let's hope Lucy doesn't pull the football out again on me as I go to kick it.
Right.
I think this was the right fit.
Hey, get ready for people to complain about Sean Payton. We don't like his moves. We don't like the way he deals with the media. That stuff's coming. I don't care. Sean Payton, do whatever you want. It's all you. You go do whatever you want. I turn the reins over to him. Larry, are you good with that? Are we okay turning this over to Sean Payton?
I'm 100% turning it over to Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Ultimately, do we know who Bronco ownership really wanted? But as the list kept getting smaller and smaller, there was one guy that, you know, was still there. And lucky for us. Yes. I think we were it worked out extremely lucky for us. I think we've got a proven head coach who is going to hold people accountable. The things that Mike just mentioned with, you know, we're going to do things the right way. And the things he said about the only thing that matters is winning. That's what you have to have. And people are not going to be, you know, it's going to be a different, you know, approach. And I, for one, am very happy about that. I think I told you we should be right now at this stage more excited right now.
Yep.
About his joining than we were last year when we were all, you know, giddy and about Russell Wilson joining. He'll make a bigger impact on, you know, setting up the culture, and then the players got to follow through with it and play on the field. But it was obviously proven that they didn't do it last year, you know?
Yeah.
I'm super happy about this.
Well, Larry, you brought up one key word that we haven't seen, and that was accountable. We have not seen accountability in this franchise in the last 7 years, and that's why we've gotten the product that we have, because no one has held anybody accountable.
That's right. And don't get me started on the whole ownership thing, right? I mean, I think these guys are going to have to grow into, you know, what they're doing. They'll get more intelligent about football, but the previous trust, and I put that in quotes, so damaged everything about the franchise. Really unbelievable, and we're paying for it now, right? Hopefully we're on the right track.
I would agree. We're waiting to see on Indianapolis. The Colts have still got to hire a new head coach. It sounds like Philadelphia Eagles offensive coordinator Shane Steichen is going to be replacing Jeff Saturday. We'll see if that is final. Probably by the time this podcast comes out, it probably will be. And the Arizona Cardinals are honestly still looking at a few guys, too. They're looking at Bengals defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo, and they say they could be looking at Eagles defensive coordinator John Gannon. Rob might be losing both of his coordinators. We'll see how that turns out. Speaking of that, a couple more things I want to hit before I let you go and we finish out our Super Bowl podcast. But we know things are going to change in the offseason. Teams are going to make moves. They're going to sign free agents. They're going to make draft picks. Teams are going to go up. Some teams are going to backtrack. But if you were just going to pick your five teams that going into next season, you'd say, I think like they're the big dogs. Like, I guess right now, we just go generic and we say the Bills, the 49ers, the Bengals, the Eagles, and the Chiefs are probably maybe the top five teams to kind of look for. Now, we know if you watch too much, Buffalo's got some salary cap problems. The Eagles have got a lot of people to re-sign. That whole defensive line is going to need to be re-signed. But is there anybody that stands out to you as maybe we put this team in that upper echelon with those top five. Maybe we replace someone in that top five. Mike, if you were just going to name teams that you would be looking at as next year, that is a team I would watch. Maybe it's the five I just named. Maybe you have someone else that you say, I don't know, I might push this team in instead. Who would kind of go in your upper echelon of teams for next year?
Yeah, I don't know. Those five were immediately the top five I thought of in my head. I think there might be more movement in the upper middle part of the pack there. You know, yeah. I think the Chargers may be on the out, just on the outside of that top five there. Dallas, I just don't trust them and what they're doing. I don't know what they're going to do. Jacksonville's going to make some noise again. They're not going to sneak up on anybody, so it's going to be difficult. But
yeah,
if Lawrence continues to progress, they could be a team to watch next year. But I don't know if I see anybody supplanting any of the top five that you listed there, to be honest.
Yeah, we'll see if Jacksonville, that's another team that's got a little bit of money problems. We'll see how they do there. Rob, you got any other teams that you might push up into that top echelon of teams?
No, that's really it. Like you said, I still think it's going to be one of those fives. I think the Chargers, like Mike said, would be the only one that I would squeeze up in there. But yeah, I mean, all of those teams, right there. Especially the 49ers. I think that's an interesting one, too. You know, depending on how their quarterback situation shapes out, I mean, that's an interesting team. But yeah, outside of that top five, six, I can't really see anybody else jumping in to contend with those guys.
Larry, you got anyone you want to put in that top five or anyone you want to kick out of that top five?
I'm not kicking anybody out. And I don't know if I'm putting anybody in, but like the other fellows here, you know, there's potentials. Did you say the Jets?
No.
So there's a couple things they got to do. But if I'm looking at potential, they'd be one of the ones that I would keep an eye on for sure.
Interesting point, because we know that it sounds like Aaron Rodgers is going to drop acid and then see if he wants to go play for them. So if that's the case, you could be onto something. That's a solid defense. They're pretty well coached. They need a quarterback. I don't know if he still is a quarterback, but I mean, we'll see if he comes out back from the other side, and we'll see how he looks when he does. Maybe he's the guy that says, hey, my vision quest told me I need to go play for the Jets, or maybe he just sees spiders on him all the time because he saw God. I don't know how that's going to end up is what I'm saying.
The long off season. Anything could happen.
Anything can happen. Hey, you go have some peyote and you just kind of see where the chips land.
Right.
I think the big lesson here.
Never turn down a good sweat lodge. Right. So it's my motto.
We can see. Never turn down a good sweat lodge with a 6 foot wahoo. No question. No question about that. Gentlemen, it is disappointing to say another NFL season is in the books. It genuinely makes me sad that we're done. I don't even know what I'm going to do on Sunday. And that is what I'm going to pose to each one of you. I would like to hear any final thoughts that you might have. We wrap up this NFL season, but what are you going to be watching until the next one starts? Do you have a show? Do you have a sport? What is it you're going to be watching? I will tell you from my standpoint personally, I'll be watching a lot of NHL. My wife has just gone full Avs crazy, so we're watching every Avalanche game. I'll be watching a lot of NBA. Of course, I'll be watching college hoops. It is heating up very quickly. So I know that those are the things that I will be watching. But if you have any final thoughts, if you'd like to tell us what you're going to be doing until next August when we fire this thing up again, I would be glad to hear it. Rob, you're the sitting I team president. What are you going to be watching until we get back to football again?
Oh, man, it's so sad this time of year.
It is.
Probably college basketball is going to be the big one for me. I mean, March Madness, you know, that's always enjoyable. So that's what I'll be focusing on. And then once March Madness is over, that's when it's really tough.
That's when it gets tough.
It's really tough at that point. But a lot of college basketball, and then probably catch up on some shows, just whatever's on Showtime and HBO on Sundays. Like I said, Last of Us, Your Honor, two good shows. A little behind on, but yeah, that'll be it.
Good call. Those are two shows that people might need to check out. Mike, you are up next. What are you going to be doing until we're doing this again next August and having something to talk about? I have a feeling it's probably not going to be watching the USFL, but maybe I'm wrong. What do you got? What are you going to be watching?
You are not wrong. It will not be the USFL. So,
Gave it a
shot. You know, it kind of, you and I are, you know, two peas in a pod there. We're fortunate to have, although an injury riddled, but a defending Stanley Cup team watch now struggle to make the playoffs.
Which, it's
going to be
tight.
Who know, but the injuries have been insane. And holy smokes, the number one seed in the West. I don't, who knew, right?
Who knew? The Denver Nuggets could win games. We had no idea.
I have no idea. Now the Suns, with their recent trade acquisition, are going to make some noise. But
yes, they are.
I am looking forward to the playoffs for both of our local teams.
Agreed. Now, having said that, the Suns, they probably have 5 AARP cards on that team. You've got to stay healthy, and that is not going to be easy because neither one of those guys can stay healthy. We'll see if CP3 and Kevin Durant can actually stay on the floor because they've had a difficult time doing that. And we know when the playoffs start, well, now you're playing more and you're playing tougher games. You're playing more physical games. So we'll see if those two can stay healthy. But if they can, yeah, Phoenix is going to be a load. Larry, you're going to finish things up. What are you going to be watching until next football season when we start to get excited, we start to get our expectations way too high, we start making those Super Bowl, you know, plans, where are we going to go, where are we going to stay to go watch our Broncos play in the Super Bowl? What are you going to do until then?
Well, I will not be a pee in your pod. But,
all right, thank you.
But I will stay on the theme of hockey.
Yeah.
Your DU Pioneers are ranked number 3 in the nation right now.
Good call.
So get out and maybe, you know, get a game or two in there. I know they sometimes show them on our local cable provider, but I got to keep your eye on that. And then actually on TV, no joke, Mikayla Shiffrin has got her eye on the all-time World Cup mark of Ingemar Stenmark. She's going to blow away Lindsey Vonn as far as titles. She's going to be the greatest skier ever. I see you laughing, but
you were saying a lot of words in English. I didn't understand any of them. I was trying to figure out what in the world you were talking about.
I knew Larry was going to bring it back to skiing. I knew it. I should have predicted it.
Well, come on, guys. It is wintertime.
It is history. It is history.
Our weekends have completely opened up. There's no reason not to be up there. So I'll leave it at that.
I have so many reasons to be up there.
And one of them is right behind you, Larry.
Right. Yeah, that one right behind you is a real good reason not to go up there. I think I'd rather do that. And I'm not a fisher.
Well, you squeeze that in when we can. But
are the Olympics this year? What am I missing?
No.
She's just out there skiing in the backyard, or
yeah, like in Europe's backyard, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Well, gentlemen, as usual, it is always a blast to have you on. You don't get to just go do your own thing now that the NFL season is over. You're going to have to come back. Might have to talk some hockey. Might have to talk some college hoops. Might have to talk some NBA hoops. Larry might have to come in and let us know how DU lacrosse is doing. I'm just saying, keep the schedule available because you might have to come back sometime very soon. But thank you very much. Always enjoy you guys coming in. It's always a fun time to catch up and talk NFL. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you, Clint.
Anytime.
Hey, next week on The Dose, the NBA saw a flurry of trades prior to the trade deadline. We're going to be taking a look at which teams actually improve themselves. Plus, March Madness is coming quickly. Number one teams keep falling. We're going to be looking at the teams to watch. And we just might have a few questions for the NFL offseason. So be sure you tune into The Daily Dose next week. And be sure you let a friend know to do the same. I want to say thank you to our illustrious NFL panel, Big Rob, Mike from Castle Rock, and Larry from Centennial for stopping by the Daily Dose and breaking down Super Bowl 57. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for checking out the new stuff going up every week at DailyDoseSports.com. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. Absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Doing a lot of running and cycling, swimming. Well, you know all about that.
No, actually, I don't. I play real sports, not trying to be the best at exercising.